You're listening to the Student Leadership Programme podcast.
Hi, I'm Simon. I'm currently a third year adult nursing student down in Swansea University.
And hi, my name's Joy O'Gorman. I'm also a third year final year nursing student and I'm studying adult nursing with the University of Plymouth. And we both have had the privilege of being on the 150 Leaders programme over the last year as well. Today we're going to share some of our lived experience and insights of nursing placements during our degree, pre-COVID and also during the pandemic, comparing how they've maybe perhaps differed. And our target audience for this is nursing cohort students of all years, but in particular year ones who are encountering their placement for the first time during the pandemic. And we also hope some of our insights and lived experience will be there for future cohort years as an insight to how our learning was during these unprecedented times. So to kick us off, Simon, I was wondering if you could share a little of your placement experiences before COVID-19 hit us and some of your most memorable moments.
Yeah, no problem. It actually seems like a lifetime ago now. Just seems like we've been in a pandemic forever. I was actually just having a quick look at what I've done because I've, you know, put my portfolio together and everything. I started off, I did elderly rehab in my first year, which is really good because I like the rehab side of nursing. I prefer the positive aspects to the negative. I went out with a health visitor as well, and I was quite lucky. My health visitor was part-time, so I managed to do a lot of like charity spokes in the afternoon, so short placements, like maybe 2 or 3 hours here and there. So I got around to doing lots of drug and alcohol abuse charities, refugee charities, homeless charities. I managed to get around most of them in Swansea. So that was really good. It's a good eye-opener and it gives you a good insight into what services are available and how to access them. Luckily, I managed to have placements. Most of my placements have been pretty good, to be fair. I've had acute care, I've had urology, gastro and renal as well. The renal one was cut short because of COVID, like when they pulled us all out initially. So I only had like about 3 weeks there, but it was a good experience of it. And then my last placement before Christmas. We're talking COVID now. I'm going ahead of myself.
You are indeed, but that was fantastic to hear. You had quite a lot of variety and the charity extended placement sounded really, really interesting.
Yeah, I think it's sort of, I've been quite lucky. I think if you talk to some students, I say, oh, I've had basically the same placement. But I've been really lucky and had lots of different ones. So I've managed to pick up lots of different skills and also see lots of different areas that you wouldn't usually see. Because I think when you go into nursing, I think some people kind of think, this is where I want to go at the end of it, and they don't change their mind at all. So I think it's good to see those other areas because it can give you a different perspective on things. But yeah, how have you found it yourself, Joy?
I absolutely love placement. It is the most exciting place to be. I feel like a kid in a sweetie shop in my first year and second year. I had district nursing for my first placement, so that was great. I was working with 6 or 7 really experienced district nursing close-knit team, going out with the different members of the team and having an assigned mentor before the NMC standards changed. So that was a real eye-opener in year one. And then I went to pre-op surgery, which was really good at getting to grips with risk assessment, understanding patient's medical history and how that may impact their fitness for surgery and the way anaesthetists risk assess. Again, working with a close-knit, really experienced team of 7 or so nurses. So in my first year, I had a really good opportunity to ask loads of questions and pick their brains, and they were all really lovely and supportive and very welcoming. Had opportunities to run some projects and things, and that was really well received. So I got to get a flavour of different cultures and how some teams, when they're really pressured, how they manage that and how there is scope for introducing change, and the way you go about that time burden is a huge thing. And then in year two, I had gastrosurgical ward. On my first day, I was unclipping a major surgical wound. At the end of the day, I was seeing images of those wounds and hearing conversations about people with 3 months to live with cancer. And that was all very difficult to get to grips with initially. And I was thinking, how on earth do nurses manage these really life-changing experiences and not get burnt out? How do they not close off and become cold and immune to people's really quite traumatic life experiences? So I was really keen to learn and inspired by the team there. And I learned the multidisciplinary team working really kind of remove that burden, and you do signpost and refer on, and it's a shared caring role. So that was all fantastic. And then, like you, COVID-19 hit and our worlds changed quite dramatically. So Simon, how did you feel when the COVID-19 pandemic hit and our learning world literally, it almost shattered in front of us and it was reshaped in front of our eyes? And what made you decide to go on placement, on extended placement, and what were the thoughts running through your head at the time?
Well, it's kind of strange because I remember the day that they pulled us out. I'd started my shift at 7 a.m. I was on my renal placement and I was actually quite enjoying it. and basically I hadn't met my mentor yet. Because she was actually stuck on a cruise ship trying to get into America to get off it. And basically got an email about 9 a.m. Say, look, we're pulling you all out of placement, finish your shift and then don't come back, essentially. And you're like, oh, okay, what do we do? And then went home. And then it was like a Thursday or something. And we didn't really hear anything till Monday from the university then. So it was just waiting around, a lot of waiting. And then they were working out plans. So then it took them about 3 or 4 weeks to come up with something. So it was like, it was just waiting. It's just a waiting game. You have to be patient. There's nothing you could do, really. So just got on with doing a bit of reading and everything. I opted in for the COVID placement. Basically I wanted to anyway. I thought it's quite important to do it. I wanted to. I wasn't really anxious about COVID itself. But from my perspective at the time, my ex-wife, she was heavily pregnant. And my daughter comes back and forth to my house. So I was a bit worried, what if I brought something home? And same with my mum, because I live with my mum. I was a bit worried about what I might spread to them. And luckily, the university said, because all the other students had gone home, they said, well, if you want, you can move into the accommodation here and we won't charge you rent or anything. I thought, OK, so I considered it and then spoke to, my family about it. They said, yeah, go for it. And then, you kind of think, 14 weeks isn't that long, really. But then you realise, yeah, it's a long time. I can't fault the university, to be fair. So they're really good with the accommodation. I had something like, it was an eight bedroom flat on the university campus here. So you had your own little ensuite place and a kitchen and everything. But I think there's only 3 of us in the flat. So and I never saw the other 2 because you were always on different shifts. So you were kind of on your own. And I think that was the biggest thing. I think missing my family, I think that was the hardest thing, because even though I got to face my time, my daughter, it's not the same as seeing people in person. And, 14 weeks is a long time. But luckily, because we had all the stuff going on with 150 leaders and I was getting into my project and everything, that kept me busy. And I don't think I've ever written an essay so fast in my life, because I had nothing else to do. I think I did one of my essays in about 2 weeks, and with about 6 weeks to spare. So I was just going for long walks, down in Swansea. You've got Swansea Bay, so I was basically doing the whole of Swansea Bay every day on my days off and just wandering around. But yeah, I think I would do it again. But I think lots to consider. I think family is really important thing when you're considering, isn't it? you know.
And that is a really good point, because even pre-COVID, very often students, when we go on placement, we are away from family and our established networks and coping strategies. And then in COVID, that was all heightened even more. Like you, I was the same. I kind of agonized a little over the decision. I really wanted to be out there and learn and support and help and be part of what was happening in front of us all, because the NHS and nursing, that's in our blood as students. It's kind of what we push ourselves through the degree to be. I spoke with my partner, because clearly we were both anxious if I was working on a COVID red ward, and you couldn't guarantee that you weren't going to be in an area where any patient you were caring for could be COVID positive. So we discussed it, and he was quite sweet. He said he'd rather stay with me than me go away for 3 months and he live alone. And we weighed up all the pros and cons and negatives, and I was going to have a shower before I left and when I came home, and we don't wear our uniforms to and from placement. And we discussed all of the kind of risks and the measures we could put in place to reduce those risks. And we decided together, because it was very much a decision that was going to impact on him too. And my first day of placement was on a COVID red ward, and it was a bit of a culture shock, because the team there, as second years, we were out a bit later than third years, because it just took time in our region for placement providers to bring it all together, and they wanted to stagger it, which was quite sensible. But it felt like a culture shock, because the last time I'd been on that ward, it was a very different ward. The PPE, as we all know, and we'd seen on the news, is a huge, huge burden for communication. When I got there, the team were all used to it and it got their heads around it. To me, it was still very new, and I could feel the fear in the back of my mind, but you get onto it. It was real. I mean, what if I caught COVID? That's in everyone's head when they go shopping, let alone in a hospital ward doing it. But I soon got into the swing of it, and the nursing team were great, and it was a learning experience as well as a helping out experience. And I'm really glad I did it. One of the things that I struggled a little bit with was seeing the possible divide that was happening between our cohorts of students that went down the theory route were feeling left out and as though they weren't stepping up to the plate. And students that had opted to go on placement were almost being, their integrity being questioned. Like, we were on some occasions accused of doing it for the money because we were being played. It was really sad to see some of those threads coming out, but it's human nature for those type of opinions and judgments to be made. But I was really impressed the way our cohort and our peers and others nationally supported each other. And there was very strong focus from nurses saying to students who went down the theory route, you're making that decision for you. That's the right decision for you. That's the type of nurse we want to have in the future, who's considering risks and weighing up and what's right for them and their patients. So I think it was really important that we started to respect and embrace diversity in a very different sense. We're taught about it culturally in uni and degree, but here we were, students in a very different experiences having disparity. And how did we cope with that? Did we judge each other or did we respect each other's choices? And I think that was a really good learning experience, and something we still need to take forward even now on placement that's happened again this year. So it's been good. Sorry, Simon.
That's all right. I was going to say, when you said about, you know, the opt-in and the opt-out and everything, our cohort now, so I'm S18, September 18, and we're literally just getting to the same point as both sets are right now. So that, you know, it's taken a long time. Sort of when I came back in September, I was online learning for a long time till November, but then the guys who opted out initially, they were on placement basically from September all the way through till Christmas. So, you know, then you've got all the other considerations, haven't you? Like the childcare side of it, to everything. And, you know, so it's tough decisions all around, I think. But yeah, I think everyone did the best that they could.
They could, definitely. And if there's anything listening, is that whatever choice you made, that was the right choice for you. And there's no judgment either side. And I think that's a really strong key message to keep sharing out there. And it's hard now because lots of our peers are a month, 3 months behind, and some of us are maybe just a month, and there's a lot of catching up to do. And it was really hard seeing everyone try to deal with limbo and not knowing. I think you emphasized that in the start of your answer there. Not knowing was the hardest thing, and when you don't know, sometimes you can start getting angry and demanding and losing perspective. And it was really important to learn how to manage that sense of limbo and not knowing and being out of control and our norms removed from us. It was quite scary.
Yeah, and I think I was just going to touch on a lot of the university's communications through email. So you're just trying to refresh your page all the time, thinking, have they emailed me? Have they not? I don't know. But yeah, it's just, you know, it is what it is, isn't it? You just have to get on with it, really.
Yeah, definitely. And I liked your coping strategies where you wrote an essay in 2 weeks. That's so impressive. And you just got on and used your time productively. I was more of a worrier. I was worrying for myself and for my cohort, for everyone else. And I found it difficult to focus and concentrate and be as productive as I normally am because the worry was just taking over. And feed forward for me, I'm going to recognize that when I'm in a stressful situation again, how I respond. And if I find that worry taking over, I can recognize it's not actually very productive or helpful or a good use of my energy, and try and conserve my energy a bit more. So how does that compare then to your placement after paid placement? When we all went back to supernumerary, how was placement afterwards for you?
I was lucky again. They sent me to accident and emergency, so A&E in one of the big hospitals where I live. And that was quite an eye-opener. A lot of the shifts I worked were in red recess, so where a lot of the serious trauma patients came, but also where the COVID patients were brought in if they were coming through ambulance. So that was quite good because for my paid placement, I'd worked on a stroke ward. So a lot of it was clean work, you know, because of the nature of it. They didn't really want COVID patients on that ward. So a lot of my paid placement was clean, apart from the odd one or two where there was an outbreak. But yeah, it was good to see that because you saw the acute side of it. You saw the emergency treatment of the COVID. I think the staff, it was difficult because a lot of the staff weren't permanent staff. They were bank staff or agency staff. So I found that learning was a little bit inhibited because basically, you know, you're not their student kind of thing. And, you know, they don't know what you do and don't know. And they just want to get on with their job and go. So it was kind of difficult in that respect. I was only out there for 4 weeks. And at the end of the third week, I wasn't feeling very well. I just thought I had a cold. Turns out I had COVID. So I missed I missed my last week of placement. Obviously having to sit at home, and I wasn't very well for, I think it was about 8 days, but then I've been fine pretty much since. But yeah, it was sort of strange because you kind of feel that I still want to be out there, you know, and it was that sort of thing of thinking, I really shouldn't be off. I'm missing out on placement kind of thing. But then you have to look after your own health and the health of others as well. It was a long 14 days of isolation.
I bet, Simon, my God. And that must have taken quite a toll to actually been poorly with it after all this time. And how did you manage with your family and your daughter?
Well, I think pretty annoying for her. I live with my mum anyway, so she had to isolate as well. But it just so happened that I'd done a long day on placement on a Friday. And I came home from work about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I wasn't feeling very well. And she'd come over for the weekend on the Friday after school. So literally she had to stick it out with me for 2 weeks because she'd come over at the wrong time.
Extra dad and daughter time though on the plus side.
I think it was extra online computer gaming for her because she was fine, she had no effects from it, but it was sort of, the schools were still running then. So she missed her last 2 weeks. She missed her Christmas, like a lunch thing. So I wasn't in the best of, I wasn't in the good books.
Oh dear. And are you well recovered now? Are you feeling fit and healthy again?
Yeah, sort of. I think for about a week after, like I was ill for 8 days, and for about a week or two after, my chest was quite bad. But from probably the end of December onwards, I've had no effects whatsoever. And I think I'm lucky in that respect, just because I know a lot of people who've had it and have, you know, the I suppose what is called long COVID, I suppose the after effects of it. But I think I've been pretty lucky. I'm feeling pretty good, and just wish I had a laptop that worked now.
Oh, yeah. So your laptop's ill now instead of you. Well, I found the placement post, paid placement, to be quite unnerving in the sense that I, like many of my peers, were worried that not being supernumerary would more be expected of me as a year three, considering in year two a 3 month placement was reduced down to 2 months and I was helping out and missed out on some learning opportunities, but learned so much from the experience on the other hand. So I felt like I needed to justify myself to the lovely team quite a lot, and I had to rebuild my confidence as a nurse, and feeling daunted because in about 6 months time we're set to qualify and be newly qualified nurses. So getting to grips with all of that, but the team were great. I have noticed that teams are burnt out and tired because they've been living with this 10 months now, and I worry for them. In my current placement, which is again an opt-in option because of the NHS crisis and certain areas in the country are overwhelmed and need the support, and again that was another agonizing decision. Not so much about COVID-19, because I think we're all used to living and working with it, both supernumerary and the extended placement, and it was more about the learning and ensuring that I was able to keep up with my modules alongside and making those decisions. But it's worked out really well. We're doing 2 long days a week and we have protected learning time. Uni have adjusted and done safety nets for us, and there's really good adjustments been made, so I'm feeling like it's manageable and doable. And my first shift when I went out there, it was really clear to see how tired everyone is. This is on an acute COVID red. My last one was a primary care COVID red, so I'm working with people who are symptomatic with COVID, so that's a new challenge and new learning experience. They are experiencing people dying every day, and that's quite hard to get your head around. And there's new rules for dealing with death during COVID times, which impact on family and impact on the rituals that we do when someone passes. So that's a lot of new things to get to grips with, but it's all done very respectfully. And I love the way dignity in death is still very prevalent, even in those high pressured situations. And we talk to the person when we go into the room, and when we're doing the last rites, really respectful. So that's really beautiful and touching, but incredibly sad seeing that happen every day. We have families, like generations of families in wards together, which is really lovely that the nurses are able to do that. So you'll have a husband, a wife and a daughter who are all in at the moment, and really good nurturing support there. So yeah, it's quite heartbreaking, but we know there's heartbreaking events in nursing. It's part of the job. Some of the newly qualified nurses who qualified in September, so they've been in the job 5 months, there's differing experiences. Some of them are talking about having a good team culture and learning transitions. Others are just feeling broken by the experience. But nursing teams are as well. We know this. We're seeing it on the headlines and we're seeing it in the news. And it is hard. And I'm so impressed with any nursing student or any healthcare students that stayed on track during this degree, and for first years now coming in, learning in these present times, it's just be so proud of yourself to be exposing yourself to this type of learning. It's just nothing that we've all ever encountered before. what's interesting as well, where you were touching on, Simon, is there's a lot of deployments. So the team that I'm working with, they've all been deployed from other areas, so they're missing their usual teams. Yeah. The plus side of that is we're all figuring things out together. There is consistency with management and leadership and systems and protocols, but it's quite nice as a new student coming in to be learning things together and for everyone to feel out of their comfort zone. And there's lovely solidarity in that. And the team spirit and team support is incredible. So lots of positives. So that's just how this one compares a bit differently, but really impressed with the communication and the support from unis and the trust itself on that side. I wanted to ask, Simon, we've talked quite a lot about the pandemic, because it has influenced our placement learning and our degree learning quite a while. But in a recent conference with 150 leaders, we had the wonderful Mark Griffiths come on, and he's talked to us a lot about dynamic and compassionate leadership. And his key message was, look for the unicorn. So out of all of this chaos and difficult time, what has been your unicorn sights, visions, insights? What's been your magic moments or silver linings in this whole situation?
It's a good question, actually. Basically, before the 150 leaders, I came through the Swansea Student Leadership Academy, and that's headed up by Beryl Mansell from Swansea Uni. And she's been really good, you know, always constantly talking, you know, keeping you together kind of thing, just giving you that motivation. And I think, I was quite kind of lucky when I did my COVID placement. I had a really good mentor who still keeps in contact with me now. She's been really supportive, and if I've ever had questions, she's always been able to answer it. But I think unicorn wise, I think I tend to seek out people who are a bit bizarre like myself. I'm not the most conventional person. So I tend to seek people out like that. And like, if you go through my friends list on, you know, social media or on my phone, they're probably the same as me. And, you know, like, I've got a good friend who we worked as cellarman in a nightclub. And we met when we were probably about 20, 21, 22. And we still pretty much message every day now. His love of Arsenal and my love of Man United. It's amazing. I look for the inspiration in probably the things where you wouldn't find it. Not essentially people all the time, but maybe little things going on, like, you know, nice bit of sunshine here and there. It always helps in Swansea. But yeah, I think big shout out to the lecturers really with us. It's trying times. Most of them are working from home. And they're trying to make it as good as possible for the learning experience. So I think on that side, I think that's who I'm going to go for. What about yourself?
But I'm going to come back to you on the professional learning side as well, because that was some brilliant personal insights. I guess for me personally, it's recognizing my response to stressful situations and learning more about myself. Yeah. I recognize that I would have a tendency in the pandemic, if I see other people on pressure, I wouldn't want to add to their pressures. And I did that in one placement experience where there were a few things that weren't going quite right. And I didn't want to burden my uni. I didn't want to burden placement. I didn't want to burden anyone, because we're all in the middle of a pandemic. And it surprised me on reflecting back that I have a really good relationship with uni. I always reach out if I've got any difficulties or have questions to ask. But because of the pandemic, I didn't do that this time, because I didn't want to add to the crisis. So that was a big take for me. Yes, it's a pandemic, but if I'm ever in crisis and I see other people in crisis, the worst thing you can do is not put off asking for help, because you make things worse. So that was really good learning for me. And I feel much more mindful and more relaxed and not putting so much pressure on myself to always be strong and have to have solutions or have to have a way or be the person with the solutions. I don't, you know, we need each other to work things out together, and it's never good to try and do something alone. On the unicorn side, I've been loving how the student voice has been really strongly elevated over the past year. We've strengthened relationships with the Council of Deans, we've strengthened relationships with healthcare leaders. We're much more consulted on in the decision-making process, which is ironic because we are seen as adult learners, and you could see tendencies for paternalistic decision-making process kind of try and sneak in, and actually, you know, we're adults and we were empowered to make choices about our learning pathways and what was right for us. And I'm liking seeing that momentum continue on and push forward. So yeah, there's been lots of positives, and we've things that have escalated. I think like the typical unicorn is the death in service insurance, our entitlement to COVID vaccines, our entitlement to flu vaccine, our entitlement to lateral flow testing. All of that is students were a bit vulnerable before that because we were neither employees nor this or that. So we're kind of in a bit of limbo. And there's been a lot of groundbreaking work done over the last year to elevate our status and get us treated like frontline staff while still protecting our supernumerary. So I think the unicorns, as far as the nursing profession and nursing student and nursing education, are very evident there, but there's far, far more work to be done. And then also about the way we as humans respond to crisis, and like you were saying about the universities, I think they've been incredible. And it's been hard to witness some impatience and where people want to attribute blame because things aren't happening quick enough or decisions aren't. It's human nature to do all of that. But yeah, hats off to everyone from healthcare leaders, universities, peers, patients, communities, the whole country, really. It's been a really tricky, tricky time, and lots to learn and reflect on.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
So do you have any top tips for year one on placement? Mindful we are coming towards the end of our podcast, but have you got any more pearls of Simon's wisdom and insights?
I wouldn't call it that. I'd probably say, obviously, with a pandemic at the moment, we can't move around and do a lot of spokes. So just be patient. There's lots of learning opportunities out there. I was saying with my friend, actually, she's in halfway through the second year, and she's struggling with her essays because there's a lot of work online and everything. And I said, look, just read what you can, do your best. And she said, oh, you know, I can't sit down and do 600-700 words, you know, when I can. And I said, just chip away every single evening, or every time you pick up your laptop, try and do 100 words or a couple of lines, a couple of sentences. I mean, next time you do it, that's less to do, you know? So just keep chipping away. Don't leave it build up. Like, I hate leaving things to the last minute. But, you know, just sort of chip away. Just do it while you can. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. There's enough pressure going on at the moment. You don't want to add to it.
Brilliant advice, Simon. And I'd kind of concur and just add to it in that be mindful. Have a plan. And if your plan is to rest and switch off, stick to that plan. If your plan is to be on placement, with the new NMC standards now, students are much more empowered to create their own plan and their own learning needs. We've got these proficiencies that we have to sign off. So we can say to our nursing placement teams, I need to achieve this, this and this. So today I think I can achieve this. Make your plan, and even if it's one proficiency a day as opposed to, like you're saying, 100 words, have a tick that off, and it's one less thing to do. And it also kind of balances this tricky mindful of supernumerary status and the balance between helping and learning and doing. If you have proficiencies and goals to achieve, focus on it, because we no longer have a mentor, and I think there's strength and vulnerabilities in that, particularly for year ones who've not had that mentor experience. You're in control of your learning. And if you're not finding your managing, reach out to your personal tutor, talk to your assessor, don't fumble day by day blindly, is have a plan. If you're not managing to succeed in that, speak to someone and ask for help. And then, like you with essays, I'm terrible for putting pressure on myself, and I'll live that pressure all day then, rather than actually being constructive and doing something with it. So like you say, if you do 100 or 200 words a day, that's far better than spending all day worrying about an essay that you're not doing. Just be really mindful of how you're using your energy.
Yeah,
I would say
that's the thing, isn't it? Do a little bit and then you can reward yourself with like a couple of hours of Netflix or a nice walk somewhere. You know, because we can't do anything else.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Simon. It's been fab sharing shared experiences of you on placement learning and degree life. I hope it's been of help to those listening to us. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Student Leadership Programme podcast. For more information, visit www.councilofdeans.org.uk/studentleadership.